This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you for recording, for turning on the meeting recording. So, we basically have two items today. First of all, George had circulated the updated agreements with all of the addresses filled in and the other final details that needed to be resolved. I took a look at them and just had a few little nits, things that were still in brackets that needed to be fixed. But I think with those changes, at least to my eye, the documents looked to be in final state. Did anyone have any issues with any of those edits that George made, aside from the effective date, which we're going to talk about? And unfortunately, George is not able to join the call today. So we will have to proceed without him, but we can relay back the results of the call. So any comments or questions on anything left in the documents other than the effective date? Okay. Seeing no hands, it sounds like all other issues have been resolved, so that's great. So that means that we can move on. Oops, some echo. We can move on to talking about the effective date, and perhaps if we could get the text that George proposed, we can load up into Adobe any of the agreements, I think, because they all have this effective date language in them. If we take a look at that, that would be helpful. Is it possible to get the text up? Hopefully.
Yeah, well, in the meantime, I'm working on it. I'll bring it up.
Okay, thanks. So I see that Athena has her hand raised. So go ahead, Athena, and kick it off.
Yes, thank you very much. I had the impression from the discussion we had in the last call and from where we left the discussion, we were considering two options, whether we will have like a concrete effective date in the document or whether we will have action precedent. And it was an action on us to discuss this internally with each operational community and talk about that first and then about a concrete language of a condition precedent if this is what the operational communities want. Is this an accurate understanding of the process?
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, people felt like it might be useful to see what the conditional language would look like because, you know, what the language looks like if you just have an effective date is pretty straightforward. So I think that's why it was proposed that some language we put together so people could see what it looked like. But, yeah, certainly we're discussion is still open about whether to just have an effective date or to whether to have some something conditional built in there. So if you have views either way, then discussion is open for that. Go ahead.
Yes, indeed. If I may follow up, yes. So thanks for this clarification. And since we have to decide on either option. I must say that the RIRs would support a concrete date on them instead of a condition precedent. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Athena, other folks have comments about this question of having a concrete effective date versus having some conditional built in that relates to the effectuation of the transition. I mean, this is basically what we talked about last time. So I think the RER are just stating a view that they would prefer to have a concrete effective date. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks, Alyssa. Greg Shatton for the record. I think that if we had a concrete effective date, I would love to reflect that, given that the concrete hasn't quite set yet and that we maybe need to be dealing with contingencies. Not entirely sure, of course. We might be shorter in a day or two or even an hour or two. But given where we stand at the moment, I think it's probably more flexible and reflect the current situation and also will be consistent, at least effectively consistent, if you will, with some of the other documents, the agreement documents that, or maybe all the other agreement documents other than these, that are, being entered into pursuant to the transition. It's not an absolute opposition to the effective date being concrete, but I think there were a number of issues raised in the last call about about issues that were, caused or, perhaps reasons not to favor a concrete effective date. Although we can make any of these processes work. It's really just a matter of landing on one. But we can't sign, we can sign an agreement that's with a contingent effective date more quickly than we can sign one that has only a concrete effective date that we don't, aren't exactly completely certain of yet. Thanks,
Greg. And I think, so this raises a good point, which is that, and I think it would be helpful to hear back from you, Athena, on this. There's a few different flavors of concrete date. There's one which says, today we put in October 1, 2016 as the effective date. The communities and the trust and ICANN go off and have their approvals of whether these documents can be signed, and they get signed next week, and the effective date is September 30th. So that's kind of the option one. That's the sort of fast option. There's another option which says, where we arrive at is that we all want to have a concrete date, but we don't know exactly what that date is yet, and therefore we don't sign these agreements until at some point in the future when we can collectively come back together and decide what the effective date should be. We put the effective date on it then, and we sign them then. And there's potentially an option in between those two, which is that we decide that we want to have an effective date. It would be nice if it was October 1, but maybe next week we'll feel more comfortable with October 1 being the effective date than we do today. And so we try to get back together next week and get all the approvals done next week with the potential that something changes between today and the middle of next week. So I think there's multiple options there in terms of effective date, of having a concrete date, and it would be helpful if people kind of distinguish which one they're talking about when they're referencing them. Sam, go ahead.
Sorry, coming off mute. Alyssa, I really appreciate the different options you laid out for having a concrete effective date. I think that the idea that we could get the agreements pretty much baked and leave the text as it is with the agreement that we'd all come together and determine what the appropriate effective date is and then sign it after we've identified that makes some sense to me if we didn't want to put in the conditional language. As I discussed on Monday, based on the understanding of where this idea came out of in the proposals and that it everything is drafted to be linked to the transition, I we've already flagged our concerns with the documents if they were to reflect an effective date prior to the transition and the issues that that could cause. So, you know, we wouldn't have any objection from the ICANN side if we were to do one of the items that you outlined, Alyssa, which was getting the agreements baked with the exception of the effective date, not signing, but having all the approvals that we need to move forward with the agreements once we identify what the appropriate effective date is, time to the transition.
Thank you, Sam. Jonathan.
As I understood the way Sam just laid it out, in effect, that's the same thing. In other words, it remains effectively conditional on the transition, which is different to having a fully baked effective date that is effective independent of whether the transition takes place or not. So if I understood it correctly, it is effectively the same thing. One either has an effective date to be determined on an unsigned agreement or a signed agreement with the conditionality built in. The challenge I think we will face from a names community perspective is it feels to me like our mandate is wholly linked and of the CWG with the transition. If you think about it, we came together and made a proposal based on the understanding that this was what would need to be done to effect the transition. The CWG is called the CWG IANA Stewardship Transition, IANA Stewardship Transition. So my challenge, and I think Lisa would probably feel similarly, our challenge as co-chairs is that, and then this IANA IPR issue comes as within our group and the work that we've done as a critical but ultimately subsidiary issue to support this whole work on the transition. So it becomes a necessary issue to resolve, as we all know, because when we put the proposal together, that we'd have to deal with this. We all came together as three communities and dealt with it. But it seems to me that the linkage is very strong with the transition. So my challenge is, no matter what I might feel personally about whether we do anything differently, we have a mandate, and it feels to me like our mandate's linked to the transition. So it would be difficult to do, I think, anything different than either the conditional language or the set of circumstances, the effective date along the lines that Sam just described. I'm sorry that was a little long-winded, but I hope I made it clear. I'd really like to be as cooperative and helpful as possible, but those seem like the solutions available to us given my understanding of our mandate. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan. I think that was clear. Yari.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Excellent. So I've been thinking about this and discussing also with a few people the last 2 days. And first of all, so I don't actually, I mean, I can't get excited about the difference between, not signing and then deciding a date or, making it conditional. That seems like a, distinction without a real difference, just the way that the text is written. It doesn't have a real-world impact. I'm more interested in the real-world impact parts where we as organizations, I understand Jonathan's position and the difference to where we are, but, we try to run the IETF and, do the daily thing, and part of that is, get the stuff done that we need for our work. And getting things done and behind us and, not binding everything to somebody else's decisions, to me that feels beneficial. Now, I don't know if the IPR thing is actually first in line on that, to be honest. I think for us at the IETF at least, the SLAs number one. We haven't been able to sign one, or we've been able to sign one, but we haven't been able to make one effective for a couple of years. And this is a difference to how we operated before, because previously it was possible every year to make it new SLA, and now it hasn't been. So, I mean, just it's not maybe a topic of this call, but for the RIRs and IETF, I think the same applies. Getting the SLA up there is important. And it seems a little funny that we can't do things that we were able to do before just because we have a transition going on. So I think it's ongoing business, and we should be able to do that kind of stuff. And for the IPRs, I think, and first of all, I'm reasonably happy with George's language that, it's good to sign something and then not have to worry about the reneg that if, you know, as long as something happens within a certain time frame. There's also the possibility that then if we do that, that if, like, none of this matters, first of all, if the transition goes forward as planned, none of this matters because, you know, the dates are going to be the same anyway. So that's not the case that we should worry about. The case that we should worry about is, you know, what if we get a delay and what kinds of things can we as organizations do going forward and not get paralyzed by, you know, lack of approval from somebody. I'll just point out that, you know, if that were to happen, we could, and you know, if for some reason we all decided that it would be a good thing to, and that we were able to sign some of these agreements and, you know, maybe some of the other ones too, then we could certainly do so also after, like, you know, we could change the text to say, now we, you know, it's on this date, and then we just sign it, even if we had signed this previously and were unable to make it effective, given the conditional language. So the space of solutions here is actually quite big. It's not just this one thing that we could also do another one. Wanted to throw that out and give you a snapshot of what I'm thinking at the moment in terms of the bigger picture. Thank you.
Thanks, Jari. That's helpful. So I guess one question, again, coming back to you, Athena, is when you say that that your preference is for a concrete effective date, is that that's under the assumption that the agreements would not be signed this week or next week, but that we would wait until the parties can agree on what the effective date should be and sign them then?
Actually, we were thinking that this agreement may be signed already anyway, so we don't need to wait for as we did with Basel. We've signed it already, and of course it'll be effective after the transition. This can be signed already, I don't think it will. I'm not sure if it will have any impact from whether the transition goes on or not. So if we can sign it already, then no matter when the transition takes place, we will have them already signed. Now, that's the idea.
Okay. So the proposed date that you were thinking was like October 1st. So we would put October 1st in the agreements, and then we would sign them this week.
Indeed, yes, that was the idea.
Okay. So it sounds like we have a disagreement between numbers and names about this, at least. And I see Greg back in the queue, so go ahead, Greg.
Thanks, just waiting for the echo to mute itself. If we knew we were going to close on October 1st, I'd put October 1st in there in a heartbeat. But we don't. And there's no point in signing an agreement with an effective date that may or may not be the effective date. So there are a number of different solutions to that. We can tear up the agreements. We can hold them in escrow. We can leave them blank and sign them when we know what the effective date is. It may or may not be clear what the effective date is. Unfortunately, we are dealing with externalities here. There's no way for those externalities to tell us now what's going to happen. There are predictions, but of course there are alternatives to those predictions. We need something that deals with all the alternatives. The one thing we can be sure of right now is that we can't be sure of October 1st. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Go ahead, Josh.
Sorry, I was trying to get off mute. From what Jonathan has said, it doesn't appear that CWG Names Committee would support the notion that we sign and plug in a date today. I think if people wanted to sign because they were worried about trying to arrange signatures, they could sign and have them be held by a designee, like what Greg described as escrow, just to explain what that means for people. Each community would sign and have their signatures be held by, council, if they've got council involved, or some designee for that community, and the parties would then come together at a subsequent date. So those signatures would not be delivered. They would just be held and ready. They'd come together at a subsequent date, once transition was clear was going to happen and what the date of that transition would be, and they'd agree on the date to be filled in to the document and then deliver and then exchange the signatures or deliver the signatures. That would be a way of people, accomplishing the procedural aspects of getting the document signed now, but not delivering them or making them effective, and not dating the agreements until a date certain in the future when the transition does happen. And that may be, the way to solve this, without committing people to a date future that is not certain.
Thanks, Josh. Alan?
Thank you. I'm sorry I joined this call late. I'd like to give a position from the RIRs. I think we would prefer to sign before the end of September and to have the effective date be the 1st of January. If there's significant opposition to that, then it's not essential. We can probably live with some other date or with some kind of conditional language about whether or not the transition occurs.
Okay, thanks, Alan. That's helpful. I think just based on following sort of from Yari's comments and based on the hard work that we've all put in to try and, sort of finalize things before September 30th, I get a sense that people would like to have sort of tie this up before September 30th one way or the other, rather than, even the escrow options are still sort of leaving things in, I would characterize them as leaving things in limbo a little bit, and I don't think it's the procedural part that is of concern necessarily as to why people want to sort of get things done. So I think if the RIRs are amenable, then it's sounding like we would be able to have this conditional in there, roughly of the form that George wrote. Greg, are you back in the queue?
I am back in the queue.
Go ahead.
Two things. I think that, certainly if we can find a way to sign, whether it's by holding the agreements, in escrow and not releasing them and dating them until a date certain is known, that's one that's okay, I think. Or by adding the contingency language that's similar to that in the names function agreement and other agreements, that's, I think, also fine. I think there is at least some chance that if the ICANN IANA transition gets stuck in the continuing resolution that's in front of Congress, that the we're going to go into December. So that's an issue that may make it harder to hold the agreements in escrow, since we won't know. I mean, we could date them December 10th if that's what people think is going to be happening. Then we have kind of a mismatch with the other agreements. On a separate but related note, as I'm thinking about this, I'm concerned with the January 1st sunset that has been requested. I'm not sure what – this may not be noticed by anybody, but to the extent it's noticed, I'm not sure what message it's sending. Certainly, you know, in the – by regardless of what any individual person thinks of the IANA IPR transfer, it's been made a necessary, if subsidiary, part of the overall transition. And if we're going to dump it as of January 1st, 2017, by which time I hope this is all moot, but who the heck knows. But if we give a signal that an important part of this transition is going to fall apart as of January 21st, 17, as I say, I'm not quite sure what message that's sending, but it's sending a message, which is either do it or else, or we're not so committed to this, and, we think we can just, the cascading effect of this, puts the entire transition in doubt if this does not occur in this calendar year. And I'm not sure that we want to draw that line in the sand, especially on this topic. But that, if anybody picks up on that, I think we better have a good story about why that makes sense and what that does to the transition. Because without that, we're just going to let imaginations run wild. And anybody who has spent too much time in social media or even, actual real newspapers the last few days will know that imaginations have been running wild, and mostly in very unfortunate ways for our little corner of the world. So let's think about what we're doing here. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. And as Sam pointed out in the chat, this same conditional already appears in the IETF SLA that was signed. So this is not, and that's months old. So that's where this comes from. This wouldn't be a sort of new language that's appearing in the transition implementation just in this these agreements. Yari, go ahead.
Yeah, so I agree with what people have been saying in the chat room, and Greg raises a good point. I think we have a story. I mean, nobody wants to legally bind themselves into something forever. There needs to be a date. And we are, of course, able to continue and, reassess and whatever else. It's not the final date. But I also would worry about sending a message that, whatever some other guy somewhere does, we're prepared to wait forever. That would be, I think, contrary to what our communities would want us to do also. But it's just a date. And then we'll consider as we would always, no matter what. But what I actually got on the line for was to say that, again, if this thing happens this month, then great. We can all celebrate, and we have no issue. The only thing to worry about is what if there is excuse me, an extension, and we have to deal with that somehow. I don't want to attribute this to anybody, but you know, in my chats with various people, I mean, I do detect some willingness to, you know, rethink, you know, what's part of the transition and what's not, and see if we could, you know, continue our business as usual, regardless of how long the, you know, final NTI contract thing take. So, you know, whatever you do with, you know, escrows or contract language, don't preclude the possibility that, you know, 2 months from now or 5 months from now or a year from now, we actually want to go ahead. So, but, you know, let's keep that door open. If we find something now, we need to be able to change the plan and, you know, sign faster or remove the condition or whatever, if we all agree, of course. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Yari. Ted?
So I think that the conversation has moved on a bit. I originally got into to kind of talk to Greg a moment about what the optics were of the sunset day. And to both agree with his imaginations running wild in the press, but note that nobody really seems to be digging in to that level with this. They're arguing about things I can, in fact, does not do, rather than talking about the commitment of the community to take on the tasks that the NTIA is currently doing, should they be given the opportunity. So I think we could probably put that aside as a concern for the moment. And I think that people have said the story is really, we're happy to amend these documents if a concrete date emerges that's different from the original theory. And I think if that turned out to be January 21st for some reason as opposed to January 1st, getting people to amend the document and re-sign would be trivial. But to go into something that was going on in the chat, people were talking about whether the NTIA has the opportunity to renew for less than a year. My understanding from talking to our policy people is that it has the right to terminate the contract with 30 days notice. And so if it were given the opportunity to do so, even if the contract term was set at the year, it could do so. Their understanding is also that because this is an affirmative act, it would count as something that was not merely letting it lapse. And so there might be rider language around that, if there is a rider that contains language that would extend through the length of the continuing resolution. If the continuing resolution then lapsed, it would depend on what followed it as a funding. So I think our best hope is to get this done now and to get all of our ducks in a row as best we can with the theory that this will happen, knock wood, October 1st, and that if it does not, our next opportunity is probably in the window that we've currently set.
Thanks, Ted. Go ahead, Russ.
So this is Russ. We picked these dates, I thought, with the expectation that the transition was likely to actually happen in that window. And I think trying to put any other spin on it, as other parties might, doesn't preclude us from updating these documents should that period occur. Elapse so that we put a new period in. Hopefully it won't come to that. Hopefully this is all over at the end of this month, but let's just remember that we're the signatories, not anyone in the U.S. government. Thanks.
it's Russ. I think I agree with what you said, and yeah, I think we need to focus on kind of what we have under our control and the effects of these things on the parties who are actually at the table. I personally find the sunset, and I don't particularly care if it's January, but it doesn't seem reasonable as well. I like the sunset because we don't actually know what will happen with the NTIA, the agreement between NTIA and ICANN, if it doesn't expire on September 30th. Like, nobody has any idea. It could last for another 18 years. It could last for one more year. It could last for two more months. We don't really know. And so I think it's useful to not have the ITF Trust in particular be bound by everything in these agreements for a completely indefinite period of time, and sort of force the burden onto all of the parties to come back together to undo that if it turns out that, you know, 2 or 3 or 10 years from now, the NTIA contract still exists, and there's an opportunity for some sort of transition in the future to happen. And the agreements, as they look like they make sense today, don't make sense anymore, but we're all still bound by them. I think that that doesn't seem prudent. It seems much more prudent to sort of incrementally check in and say, do these still make sense? Should we put a new effective date on these at an appropriate interval? January seems like a fine time to do that if that's the point at which, you know, we'll have a lot more information about the NTIA contracts than we do today if it's still in effect. So that's why I find the sunset to be useful. And I think it's, again, putting priority on, like, getting something signed this week, it seems like a helpful sort of middle ground to get us a few more months of agreement. And then we can talk in January if we need to about should we put a different date on these or should we change the clause. So that would definitely be my preference. Alan.
Thanks. So if we're going to make this agreement contingent on the transition, that's a new idea to me. I thought when we were discussing it, it was going to be unconditional. But if we are going to make it contingent on the transition, as it says in 7.11 there, then I agree that it makes sense to have a sunset date, but I think the sunset date should be 12 months out, not just 3 months. I'm thinking of a scenario where NTIA decides to renew for 12 months, and because our sunset date is only 3 months out, we have to quickly, in October and November, because in December people take time off, in October and November we'll have to amend this agreement and redo it, even if the only thing that changes is the date. So I'm advocating to put a sunset date 12 months out on the 1st of October 2017. Thanks.
Thanks, Alan. Greg.
Thanks, Greg Shatton again. Thanks, Alyssa, for your thoughts on the sunset or at least, you know, a reason for the sunset date. Given what you said, though, I would think that a much longer sunset date or a date much further in the future than January 1st would make sense. Is there's really, as I see it, not much in the way of change circumstances that are going to happen between now and January or now and June or now and September or whatever. Sure, if things change very significantly over coming years in this agreement, you know, no longer is fit for purpose or sensible, then, you know, eventually having it go away on its own terms isn't a bad idea. Frankly, the parties could get together and just get rid of it and terminate it as well and agree to. I'm not sure why any one party would want to try to hold the other parties to it, but I suppose that's, you know, a control against some sort of rogue act by one community. But I think that a sunset provision that's so close sends a message inadvertently or not, and it's not just a message outside of ICANN to the fabulists in Washington, but within the communities, including the NAMES community, that maybe there are second thoughts that IATF Trust really doesn't want to do this, that we should be looking for alternatives. You know, with enough time, we could come up with a newly formed trust. We've avoided that for the reasons all well stated many times. But do we want to send a message that, you know, somebody's kind of got their eyes on the door here in terms of keeping all of these moving parts aligned? And that concerns me. And you know, I think that we're getting well into the doctrine of unintended consequences with this sort of thing, with a date that looks like basically, you know, if this doesn't happen in the next 3 months, we're out of here. I mean, if it said something about that the parties would then re-execute the agreement on identical terms, maybe that would leave some comfort. But then the question would be why the heck do that? You know, agreements don't really become stale, certainly not in 3 months. I remain concerned about this conceptually, certainly with such a short date. I think, you know, a year minimum might make sense, you know, given some people are talking about, you know, a 2-year training wheel period. Well, then again, this might be in place during the training wheel period, so I wouldn't worry about that too much. But at least in terms of the short term, I think the message we want to send to people is everyone's staying the course. And as somebody said, maybe it was Johan, we need to remain calm. And I'm not sure that a January 1st drop dead date on an agreement sounds like remaining calm. You know, I've got parties who have an exclusive to buy. In my real life, I'm representing parties who have an exclusive to buy a company. But their exclusive only goes to September 30th, and that is really worrying them as they try to get their financing in line and get a closing scheduled by September 30th. The other side says, oh, we're not going to walk away, but they're not willing to extend that September 30th date either. So dates send messages, and they're there for reasons. And, you know, if we have a reason that is completely innocuous, I think we need to make it completely clear, because without that, there's a whole lot of other reasons, and even within the ICANN communities, that will be inserted into the empty space where that reason is not expressed. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Alan, are you in the queue, or is that from before?
Sorry, no, I meant to put my hand down.
Okay, so just a time check for folks. We have 13 minutes left in this call. So if you could keep your comments somewhat brief, that would be good. Go ahead, Ted.
Just two quick things. One is that I'm pretty sure that Andrew has been reluctant to have this stretch on for another year without us thinking about some of these things a bit further. So I would say that just updating this to be October 1, 2017 might find some resistance in his opinions, and obviously as a trustee, that's something we should note. The other thing is I actually don't think Greg's anticipation of the tea leaf reading on this is quite correct. I mean, I believe we, going back to the signatory communities, can easily explain this, and that the mechanism that we're putting in place here is actually one where the dates matched one of the other agreements, the IATF agreement. And I think that the real concern we have is trying to get the overall transition complete. And if we are relitigating this date at this point, we're probably going to be just in the weeds for a lot of other things as well. So I think that this matches something that's already out there, I think we can explain it to our communities, and I think leaving it as it is probably the best way to go.
Thanks, Ted. And I mean, also to the point, and Sam has reiterated as well, the January 1 date already exists in the ITF SLA with ICANN and the same exact conditional. So I don't think there's this point about the messaging and, you know, people picking up on something. It's like, I don't think that has any real weight. This is a prudent step for parties to take when they're entering into contracts. And it's quite obvious to me that there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty about what is going to happen with the transition and the NTIA contract. Maybe we'll know more next week. Maybe we won't. It's really difficult to say. Maybe we'll know more in December. Maybe we won't. Nobody really knows. So to me, to come back together with January as, you know, a reasonable time to come back together and say, hey, do we all still feel good about this? Great, let's put a new date on these. Or if we don't, then we won't, and we'll talk about it then. It seems totally reasonable to me. So I think to your point, Greg, like maybe, you know, given a whole another year of this fund, people will change their minds about what they want to do with the IPR, what they want to do with anything in the transition proposal. I don't know. It's not us who are, you know, undermining the trajectory of the hard work that we all put in. It's other people who are doing that. And we obviously are completely all incapable of predicting what they're going to do. So that's why I think coming back together in 3 months is reasonable. And I'm with, you know, Ted and Andrew and Yari on that. So we need to figure out a way to wrap this, and if we can have something that people can sign this week. So, I'm not sure how to do that. I don't know if there's more community conversation that would help that, maybe, get some other voices in, or if other people have suggestions on kind of compromise that we think we can come to that the parties could sign. And I'm all ears. Athena, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm just trying to see it in practice. So if we put January and the transition is not hasn't by then, and we regroup and we say, okay, let's extend this and so on. I believe that such a discussion will take place in December. And I don't know how we can make sure that people will be available to have this discussion in December. So if we believe like 1 year, 12 months, it's too much, maybe we can find a middle way so that we don't have the sunset date right before holiday, right after the holiday season. So maybe, I don't know, February would be an alternative. I'm just thinking out loud here.
Okay, thanks. That's a good suggestion. Alan.
I was going to say the same as Athena just said. December is difficult for many people because they're on leave. So if there's opposition to 12 months, then let's make it February instead of January. Okay with that.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Greg, go ahead.
Greg again. I think that we've probably need to take this back to the CWG, you know, whatever it is. We have the meeting tomorrow, fortunately. And, you know, I don't want to to belabor the point, but, you know, I do think that if we want to control the optics of what we're doing here, and the easiest thing is to align these with the other transition-related agreements. I realize they're not maybe all aligned if you count the SLAs in there as well, or MOUs. So there's no, you know, perfect answers, since things were done, you know, different ways by different people at different times. You know, I think that we hope there's a path of least resistance. And I do want to, as I say, I hope I'm not making too much of it, but I think, as I, you know, a date by which an agreement evaporates, if, you know, contingency doesn't occur, you know, is generically called, you know, among transactional lawyers that I've worked with and which I am in my day job, a walk-away date. It allows you to leave. There's nothing here that says that this isn't a walk-away date. I know it's being referred to internally as a sunset, but then again, where do you walk away to? The sunset. Either way, something is gone. If we wanted to put something in about an extension option, we could do something there. That would be a more positive message. But right now, there's nothing in here about options or extensions. And that's probably getting into further complexities and further differences between agreements. So, you know, either the really simple, leave it blank, sign them up, hold them in a drawer, put them together when we have a date certain on the one hand, or a simple contingency and sign them up now and exchange them. Would be my choices. You know, if we need a sunset date for some, you know, as a compromise, I really think at least a year that kind of gets us past kind of all the short-term concerns and doesn't really, you know, and looks like it's more about changed circumstances rather than about a lack of commitment. You know, that would be okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. And I see that there's more people in the queue. So just to put a fine point on it, because as Ray has been posting a lot of the time for the trust meeting. So, again, we're trying to get these signed before September 30th. And if we don't have some text that I guess the CWG is going to actually consider tomorrow, then the trust and approve, then the trust is not going to be able to approve these tomorrow unless someone wants to get in the queue and tell me differently. And so then if the trust doesn't approve them tomorrow, then someone should get in the queue and tell me when the trust is going to be able to approve them before September 30th, but after the CWG has had time to, you know, further rehash this. So I'm just kind of wondering what we're seeing as the options here, because to me it seems that the option is we get some text on the table today that the CWG can look at tomorrow and hopefully feel comfortable with, and the trust can look at tomorrow and approve. Or I don't know when the next time is, that if there's time next week, that the trust and the CWG are going to come back together and do all of this again and get everything signed. So we may be choosing disagreement and not signing over trying to get to something that we can actually sign before we said that we were going to. So if people could kind of speak to that in these last few minutes, that would be helpful. And I have Jonathan next, and we're 2 minutes to the hour, so we're definitely going to run over, but please keep it brief.
Thanks, Phyllis. I will try to be. I'll try not to address all the other points, but I think I could take this clause with, I understand the concern of 3 months. It feels that it raises problems. 12 months seems to have a neatness around it, especially in the event of the possibility of a 12-month extension. Understand you've said we have no real sense of where this might all go, but 12 months has a certain rationale to it. So I'd be willing to have this phrased as we currently see it in front of us, with 12 months and to present that to the CWG tomorrow. And I'm just conscious of the lack of time. So I have heard Greg's point, but I think that the concern over the optics also is valid, but perhaps not as serious, especially given it exists in other places. So in summary, I'd be prepared to present the 12 months to the CWG tomorrow and hope to get some support for that.
Okay, thanks. Yari, go ahead.
There we go. Thank you. And, yeah, so I'm the trustee, and tomorrow I will need to...
Very faint.
...physically sign this, but I will... Sorry?
Your audio is very faint, Yari.
Okay, let's see. Is this better?
Yes.
Testing? Okay, so
yep,
I am a trustee, and tomorrow I need to sign or, you know, at least agree to this. I need text, and I need something that we can, you know, reasonably accept. And please don't make me argue a lengthy period for my colleagues in the trust, because it will be a hard sell. And I would point out that, you know, this is a difficult situation. We have, you know, competing interests and different opinions, but it would seem to me that there's been some, you know, a number of different issues, and you win some, you lose some. On the CWG side, for instance, you guys argued heavily against, you know, not making them effective on a fixed date without relation to the other events that might or might not be happening. You got that. You know, maybe you could relax a little bit on the date issue, which I think, personally, at least for me, it is a little bit important. And I guess somebody also needs to say this aloud. Well, I'm not waiting, or the ITF is not waiting forever for the transition. We will do some other arrangements if this, you know, gets stuck in the U.S. government. So we don't want to be bound by contracts forever. That's the basis of this argument. Thank you.
Thanks, Yari. Alan?
Thanks. If all we're doing is changing the date of the sunset, then I think that's okay. But I heard a suggestion a few minutes ago that we could put some text in here about agreeing to renegotiate or agreeing to accept to extensions. And I'd be opposed to that because the version that was reviewed by the community should be as similar as possible to the version that we signed. Complicated by adding all kinds of extensions, then I think we might need to go back to the community, and we don't have time for that. So if all we're doing is adding 7.11 and arguing about what date to put in for the sunset, I think that's an acceptable change. The community won't be concerned about that. Thanks.
Thank you. Josh.
You're just offering up a potential solution as press people this week. The other communities could approach, and you know, to I think it was Alan's point or Yari, Alan's point, making the effective date at any point up to X date, and whether it was 6 months or 3 months or 12 months, then we'd come together knowing what we were dealing with as the outside date, depending on the various communities. You know, they're tied
I'm
to
sorry,
the
Josh,
NDA
at least on
contract.
My side, your audio cut in and out a little bit while you were saying that. Can you just repeat what your proposal is?
Somebody's got a mic open, so we have this terrible echo. Can you hear me? I was going to suggest that the various communities approve the final at their meetings, or the signatories approve the final language of the agreement and authorize them to be signed with an effective date up to or later than X, whether that's 3 months, 6 months, or 12 months. And then we can come back together and arrive on a date that's based on the authorization for the various committees.
Okay, thanks, Josh. I think we got it that time. I'm assuming the problem with this is that the ITF Trust can't sign a document tomorrow that doesn't actually have the date specified. I mean, the communities might be able to because they're authorizing somebody else, you know, but I don't see how that works for the trust meeting tomorrow. So
the trust could say, as an example, you had the 7-11 language in there. The trust could say, we authorize this agreement to be signed with the sunset date at any time on or before blank. So it could be on or before, you know, March 1st, 2017. And then it could be signed, and once that date is determined based on the participation of the other signatories, it's filled in. And if somebody tried to put a day after that, then there would be no authorization.
So the different signatories will have different dates filled in there? I guess I'm not understanding what the size is.
No, they wouldn't have different dates. But they would, this way, there are type proposed. It could be reconciled.
I don't know if other folks are having difficulty, but I can't really hear Josh's audio.
He keeps cutting in and out.
Yeah.
Can you all hear me, or is it still cutting in and out?
It sounds better right now.
My point was that not that we would have different dates filled into the document, but each signatory would approve that the sunset be any time up to a certain date in the future. So if the trust chose March 1st, the names community chose August 1st, and IRR chose April 1st, then once we knew what those outside dates were, we'd come together and it would become March 1, as my example, and that would be the date that was filled in. Yes.
Okay. So this presumes that, right? But so this presumes that if the parties cannot agree right now on what the date should be, that at some point before the earliest dates that any of them choose, they will be able to agree.
You don't even have to come back together and agree. You have this provision in 7.11. subsequent to the NTA contract be terminated or expires. Then, so that was the addition, but if that doesn't happen prior to the earliest sunset date that's approved by the various signatories, the agreement is not going to come into effect.
Okay. I don't, maybe if someone else is on the call can try to explain this, because I'm personally not understanding it and the audio is cutting in and out. I know there was separately a proposal that that we take the current language, put in February 1 instead of January 1, and try to get agreement on that tomorrow. So let's try Eduardo.
Sorry, I was checking the mute. Yes, what I was saying is that I was checking the chat if February 1st is acceptable to everybody. I think the RIRs can accept that date. I don't know if it's the minimum acceptable for the rest of the committee.
Yeah, I think that's the question. If we can use that as the basis for discussions tomorrow. Alan, go ahead.
I'm going to try to explain what I think Josh was saying. I think Josh is saying when you go to your board or to whoever authorizes you to sign, instead of asking them, can we sign this document exactly as it is, rather ask them, can we sign this document subject to a potential change in the date in clause 7.11, provided the date is within certain specified range. That's what I understood. Thanks.
So when will there be a point at which an actual date is inserted after everybody agrees to that?
Well, I suppose so. I'm just trying to understand, to explain what I thought Josh was saying. But I don't know any further details of how that would work.
Okay, because that was kind of my question: is if it does it imply that there will be some future coming back together of the parties to solidify a date? That was kind of my question about it.
Right. Again, not my idea, but I imagine the date would be set sometime in between people getting approval from whoever has to approve and the actual execution of the signatures, which means within the next week, I suppose. Personally, I'd rather put a date in right now, and I think the 1st of February is looking as though it's likely to have broad agreement.
Okay, thank you, Alan, for the clarification. Yari, and then Greg, and then let's wrap because we're over time.
Testing. There we go. So let's not do the complicated solution if we have a simple solution available. My suggestion would be try and see if we actually do have, I haven't heard anyone scream against the Feb 1 thing. So why don't we try that, and if that fails, then we can discuss other options, but I think that's preferable. And I just want to remind everybody that we really need this signed.
Okay. Thank you, Yari. Greg, go ahead.
Thanks, Greg Chatton, for the record. Yeah, I don't think there's broad agreement on February 1st because I haven't heard anybody from the name side agree. So no broad agreement yet. I personally still have concerns about a date that's that short. I think the idea that somehow we're going to, while I look, I have some sympathy for Josh's suggestion. I think in the end it still ends up with a February 1st reset. Whether you call it a walk away or say it's a time to check and see if everyone's still on board with the transition. I'm just deeply concerned about sending a message that there is any chance that in the near term, after 2.5 years of work, there is going to be a decision that maybe we're not all on board with the transition. Or maybe the solution is to start looking for an alternative now to the IETF Trust as the holder of the IP. If it's just the IETF Trust that's got cold feet. Now, I suppose if the entire IETF community were to pull out of the transition at that time, and get rid of the IANA plan or CRISP contribution, whichever one it was, sorry for not remembering, that's a much bigger issue. But in a sense, it's really the same issue because this is a big Jenga tower, and if you pull out any one of the pieces that's really holding this up, the whole tower falls down. And I really don't feel like we should be in a position where after the work we've done, we think this really only holds for a few months. Now, if that's the fact, and really, there are concerns in communities that maybe we should rethink all this, then I'm not saying we should bury that. But we should, if that's really what we need to understand, I need to wrap my head around that. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Yari, I had to close with you. But I guess you got cut off. Is there some closing words that you wanted to offer?
Yeah. Apparently, I missed some interesting discussion, but I just wanted to say that it's really important that we actually do sign these things. Otherwise, other people will be able to say that we didn't complete the transition. So it's really on us, and I would prefer the simple approach by Eduardo and others before going to more complicated things. I have no response to Greg because I didn't hear the whole thing. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so I think this is the situation in which we find ourselves, which is that if we don't have text for all the parties to consider tomorrow, then we're not going to be able to get these things signed before September 30th. And that, I think, we have all collectively put a priority on that. And so I think what we need to do is take the language that we have in front of us, substitute February for January, and determine whether the communities think it's more important to continue debating the sunset date or more important to actually get the agreement signed, knowing that we can, revisit them upon sunset time if there's still a question about it. I think that's what we have to do, because if we don't have language to consider tomorrow, then these things just aren't getting signed, and all the work that we did on this to try and get it done on time is for naught. And I would also just point out that it's the IETF Trust that is taking on the liability of the IPR. And so the fact that you have trustees who are not willing to agree to the longer extension of this contingency, I think is actually somewhat more meaningful than it otherwise would be if it was just, parties agreeing to provide services to each other like the other agreements. So I think that's what we have to do in order to actually get this done on time. And we have, a bunch of folks who would support the February 1 date, not everyone, obviously, but perhaps there's other people in the CWG who may support it, and there might be able to be consensus there. Again, I think the choice is that or these don't get signed before September 30th, and people need to understand that. So that's my proposal for what we should do. I'll circulate the language with February 1 in there just so everybody has it and they can be, everyone's considering the same text. So I think that's the plan. I think I'm not sure about people's travel schedules tomorrow and whatnot, but I will certainly plan to sit in on the CWG call. I think it would be helpful if some of the trustees can do that too, since it occurs an hour or two before the trust call, so that they know what the outcome is for going forward to the trust call. But if Jonathan, if you and Lisa could send a note to the Diana IPR group about the outcome of the CWG call and CWG's discussion of this tomorrow, I think we need that in order for the trust to be able to make a decision tomorrow as well. And I think at least I see the requests in the chat window for explanation of the date, and I mean I'm certainly happy to provide some email to the CWG list about that, and Yari and others can do that as well. So we can take an action to start a thread on the CWG list if that makes sense to people. Okay. So let's call it a day. I'm not hearing any more shouting in the background. Hopefully we can wrap up tomorrow on various calls and over email. Thanks, everyone.